Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's program is brought to you by Essex Street Cheese, cheese importer, wholesaler, and educator. For more information, visit EssexCheese.com.
I'm Chris Kuzmi.
And I'm Mary Izette.
From Forget About It. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn.
If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, this is Diane Stemple on Cutting the Curd on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I've got a unique show for you today featuring three cheese artists. Welcome to Deborah Ziff from Brooklyn.
Hi.
To Mike Gino from Philly.
Hello.
And to Dylan Stanfield from Washington joining us on the phone. Hi, Dylan, are you there?
I am. Are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Great.
Great.
Okay,
Thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah, I'm so delighted. Let me first, for our listeners, introduce a little bit about your art for anyone who doesn't know about you already. And be sure to check out the art on Cutting the Curd on HeritageRadioNetwork.org, and then you'll find links to each of the artists' work. Let's see. Mike Gino, you are the artist I saw first. You paint pictures of individual cheeses, right?
Yes.
And Deborah Ziss, you draw cheese pictures, cheese cards, quite a few cheese jokes.
I'm actually, the people at Vermont Creamery came up with the jokes. But
oh,
yes,
okay,
yes,
okay, okay.
I'm an illustrator who loves drawing cheese.
Okay. And Dylan, you're the newest to me. Your art was on display at ACS last year, and you do cheese miniatures, correct, out of clay?
Correct. I just kind of stumbled upon the art form, per se, and been having a lot of fun just exploring the world of cheese, making miniature replicas. So.
Right, and they are incredibly precise.
No, thank you.
It's like cheese for dollhouses.
They're amazing.
Yeah, per se, yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, so first thing I want to know is how did you all stumble upon cheese as your subject for art? Who would like to go first? Mike.
Sure. I had been painting food for quite a while.
Okay.
And it was my focus, and I needed a new subject.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was searching that, I kind of stumbled onto cheese by accident.
Mm-hmm.
So I had gotten a gift of a gift certificate for the Bruno Brothers in Philadelphia, and it was it was something out of my budget at the time, and
uh-huh.
I was unaware of this whole world, and
mm-hmm.
Didn't think it was attainable. So, but when I got my one really beautiful wedge, it made me want to paint it. You know. So,
okay.
Excuse me.
What type of cheese was that initial wedge?
It was a Gorwid Carafili.
Oh, right.
Which I guess is a gateway cheese.
And nice art, because it's got kind of texture and different colors. And
it's cake-like almost. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and it would last while you were painting it.
Yeah, slightly changing colors as I went.
Okay. How about you, Deborah? How did you fall into cheese?
I've always been interested in just beer and cheese, mm-hmm. coffee, chocolate. Like, mm-hmm. And I'm an illustrator, and mm-hmm. I'd had a year-long contract, and I said, when I'm done, I'm going to write to my favorite cheesemonger and see if they will let me just draw a cheese a week. And that was Anne Saxelby.
Uh-huh.
And they did. And it was just amazing, because mm-hmm. I was able to draw something that I love. And
mm-hmm.
I had a week to sit with it, to
uh-huh.
learn about it, to read all about it, and to just enjoy watching it
mm-hmm.
while I was you know, painting.
Now, did you get the cheeses from Anne?
Yeah, I would come. I would go once a week to Essex, mm-hmm. I would. It was great. I got to meet so many nice people, and yeah, it was
so mostly American. So your cheeses were initially all American.
I now need to start learning other cheeses. Yes, I'm mostly American cheeses.
And how about you, Dylan? How did you start? You're a cheesemaker, correct?
Yeah, correct. So, I mean, I've been an artist my whole life, and, you know, I moved to the Seattle area from Northern California when I was about 23 and found cheesemaking. I've always had an interest in food and kind of stumbled upon cheesemaking and fell in love with it, and I'll be a cheesemaker for the rest of my life. There's so many interesting people and interesting things to do in the cheese world, and as we've all found out, I was actually just kind of had seen Mike's work for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and I just kind of thought about the idea. I painted murals and stuff, and I thought it'd be fun to do something with cheese. So I started cutting out some different collages and different things, and nothing was really working for me. And,
mm-hmm.
My mom got me some Fimo or Sculpey in the stocking, and my girlfriend actually just was sitting playing with it and created mm-hmm. a little. Your classic, like, Wisconsin, you know, yellow cheddar with the holes in it.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of just dawned on me, oh, I could try to make a little camembert. And turns out I have the skills for that miniature stuff. And the attention to detail. I think the part that gives me, you know, that sets me apart, I guess, being able to make them is because I'm a cheesemaker and I have a certain insight to how every cheese is made and what rack it sits on, and
right,
you know, the intricacies that go into cheese making. But it's just been an incredible learning experience, and the reception from people has been great, and I've just met so many people along the way, so I'll just continue making them. So,
doing both. Yeah. Okay, that's great. Now, for all of you, was when you started doing the cheese art, was it a hit right away? Did you say, wow, this is going to be cool?
A little bit, maybe. Uh-huh. I didn't expect it to go past maybe like 25 paintings for me. I was painting specifically for a show that was actually going to be hanging in a gallery near where Dylan is now, uh-huh. where he's working, mm-hmm. which, you know, is long before I had met him. But like I got it back as soon as the show was over, because by that point I knew it was starting to get connected to an audience that I mm-hmm. didn't know was there before.
You didn't know even existed.
Yeah.
Right. And how about you?
I did it really for me because I, you know, since I'm a commercial artist, mm-hmm. I just wanted something that was just art that I made for me.
Oh,
and,
okay.
But of course, because I'm always thinking commercially,
right,
hoping
right.
that since we were cross-posting, that maybe it would catch somebody's eye, and mm-hmm. it did,
and it has,
yeah, right. and it's mm-hmm. been, you know, it's led to some really just amazing jobs.
Cool. Now, what about you, Dylan? You don't sell yours, do you?
I've been working towards it, I guess, so because I make so much, you know, it's a balancing act because I make real cheese for a living. And
right,
so
right.
I do artwork just for fun out of pure enjoyment, and mm-hmm. really it just stumbled upon. I love Instagram and I share stuff on there, and so I've been sharing my real cheese making process for years, and when I posted the little miniature cheeses, and just the response from people was overwhelming. And mm-hmm. It was just, you didn't even know that there was a, you know, people... how much people love miniatures and love cheese, you know, it just keeps opening your eyes up.
Well, I never thought to myself, I really want some miniature cheese until I saw yours. And then it was, I want some of these. I want a cheese board full of miniatures.
Yeah.
It's just, there's something really wantable about them.
Yeah,
cheese fanatic. I mean, I don't know if, you know, the regular person on the street has the same reaction.
I think everybody loves tiny things. Yeah, they're just amazing. Well,
I've always been fascinated with miniature stuff, and you know, it was just like a magical moment. You know, it dawned on me, just like, oh yeah, we should just give this a try.
Okay. And,
Cool.
Now, I presume you, Dylan, have always been a cheese eater. How about Deborah and Mike? Has this brought you into eating more cheese, into our cheese world?
I eat so much cheese.
And always did?
I love food. Okay. I've always loved food. But now I eat a lot of cheese.
Okay.
I got my cholesterol back, and it was really low.
Yeah.
I mean,
great.
But really low for someone who's eaten as much. And I just got hysterical in the office. I was laughing. The doctor.
That's good. So you can eat cheese. Your body is able to handle it.
Yeah.
And what about you, Mike?
Yeah, totally. I was probably clueless when it came to cheese for the beginning. And then as I painted every one of these like cheese portraits, it kind of led to an addition to my education. And the more I was connected to this habit of painting them, because there was an interest in it and an audience connection, and all that stuff led to me getting a lot of exposure and then a lot of commissions. And now I'm constantly working on cheese, so there's always good cheese in my fridge. And
and
occasionally I have to have a cheese party and share it so I don't eat it all.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You can't eat as much as you're painting.
Yeah, I never ordered a cheese board at restaurants. My friends all say, oh, look. I'm like, yeah,
I have
enough cheese in my life. I don't need to pay extra.
Yeah. I mean, even me being a cheesemaker my whole life, you get a lot of your own cheese. You're tasting a lot of your own cheese that you make. And so, I've learned so much and tried so many new cheeses just in the last year, just because, and even just sitting there and reading about them and spending, that day painting on, working on it,
Then you'll want to eat that one in particular.
Yeah, and you just have this, now you have this relationship with every cheese that you worked with. I'm sure Mike and, Debbie, too. It's just like you spend spend a day or so with this cheese, and now you're forever like connected to this cheese somehow.
Yeah. I'll go to a cheese counter and I'll just
you'll see
like,
your old friends.
I'm visiting my friends,
right?
Yeah.
Well, I have that problem when I'm reading a book on a particular cheese. I have to go buy it. I mean, I just can't keep reading like Gordon Edgar's book about cheddar without eating some cheddar along with it. You just
That's
long
right.
for it. You have to have it. Okay, so now what else do you do, especially the artists? I know what you do, Dylan, with cheesemaking. I presume your cheesemaking job is a full-time job. You're the head cheesemaker at Mount Townsend?
Correct, yeah. Oh,
okay.
I try to do as much art. I do some sign paintings for my friends' breweries, and I paint murals, and so I've been a graffiti artist for a long time, so this, not ever been the focus to really make money. I like to apply my skills to people that can use them. The first time I shared the miniature cheeses, I sent them to Saxlebees because they were, same thing. They were just so excited about it, so I said, well, here you go. And then they just got a free, mini cheese package. It's just about the creating artwork for me, more or less, not so much getting so much from it. So,
right.
Yeah.
How long does it take to make those little cheeses?
It depends, but I spend a good few hours. I would say I spend, 6 to 12 hours creating one of them. I try to make a few at a time now so that I can kind of share them out. So,
and are they put in a kiln?
What's that?
Are they put in a kiln or do they just dry?
No, they just oven bake. So it's like kids' clay, Fimo, and you just bake it in the oven, which is really cool. I don't have to have any real special equipment.
Oh, that's good.
Polymer clay, yeah, and I just mix all the colors and form them and go for it. So,
do you ever burn them?
Say that again?
Do you burn them?
Or melt them?
Like, do they go, sometimes do you make a mistake and forget about it and it...
Have done that before, yeah. Definitely. Forgot them in the oven all overnight, actually.
Are they on low, I hope?
They're brown little chunks. So I spray painted them all gold, and then they look pretty cool.
Then they could be jewelry.
Yeah, and then that's when everyone started asking, do you make these as jewelry? And
when I was watching over your stuff at ACS, so many women came over and were just like, why aren't these jewelry?
Yeah.
And they had some kind of junky jewelry.
I'm working towards it. I hope to make them saleable. I've just set up an Etsy account and stuff, and they will be available at some point here. I'm not going to hold out forever.
Oh, good. Yay. That reassures everyone in the audience. Thank you. Okay. Now, Mike, how long have you been doing art, and how long have you been doing cheese art?
I guess you could say I've been full-time. I guess I could say I was an artist probably since I started art school. in 1991. So it's been a while.
Okay.
When I got out of grad school, I lived or survived and paid my food habit by teaching as an adjunct in various art schools in Philadelphia. And it's kind of turned into full-time art now, where I teach on the side a little. It's kind of inverted my ratio that it used to be. So I can spend more time in my studio and then, you know, doing things like this.
But I have a so what percentage now of your art is cheese art?
Oh, that's, it's still pretty large.
Pretty large.
The cheese is something I didn't know how long it would last as my series of what I was going to do. And I started thinking, I'll do around 25, maybe 30 at the very most.
25, 30 cheeses, paintings, cheese portraits.
Yeah. And when that started, I didn't know. I asked the first person who gave me advice on this, and I said, is there even that many cheeses to paint? Like, that's how ignorant I was. We're new to this. And I've just passed my 250 mark. So and because of cheese, though, it's opened up an audience for food. My food art that didn't have an audience as much, because the cheese world has been really supportive, and I can't be more grateful. And also just to be part of it and meet the kind of people I've gotten to meet, like Dylan and Deborah and you. It's been like so much better than just making art in your studio. You get to be part of a community, and it's been amazing.
And the cheese community is a pretty friendly one.
Yeah.
Small and friendly and pretty supportive.
It's genuine.
Now, who buys cheese portraits?
There was a fight.
We're fighting.
the thing about, I guess, having painted other kinds of food items, I've had a little bit of, you know, of luck with that. But with the cheese, I noticed it struck a different chord. And I've started to realize that people who will buy paintings of cheese are people who just really love the cheese. But a lot of times, that demographic, if you want, I guess that could overlap with people who actually would spend money on art, where when I painted meat paintings in the past, everyone loved them, but no one would buy them, you know, at the time. Now, because of cheese, people have bought them. It opened up, you know, a lot of audience.
Well, is it, will a producer buy it and put it in their lobby or in their store, or will a retailer buy it, or will just a personal cheese lover buy it, or all three?
It's kind of a combination. Everyone assumed, like when I started painting food, that restaurants would buy art, and restaurants don't have a budget for art.
Right.
And the patrons that, you know, that eat at the restaurants have a budget for art.
Right, and sometimes they have rotating art shows at restaurants where the patrons buy them.
Sometimes, So, but when it, for this, it's been a mix. There's a few, and it's really, it's in a special, like a very special bonus for me. It's gratifying when a cheesemaker who I know puts all their money into their business and trying to keep their people happy and fed, and when they buy a painting from me, I feel like super honored. It's different than just a person on the street or someone buying it off my website. One of the things that's been good for me is then once I sell a painting, I make a print available, so that's something that can fit a different budget, maybe.
Right. And I was wondering about that from your one website. So you paint one picture of the cheese, and then that's for sale.
Right.
And then after it sells, you sell the print?
Yeah. So I color. Luckily, I know how to, you know, color correct the image, and I always try to make that image file, archive it as a really large file, so I can reproduce it at any size, and also that it, so I know to my satisfaction, to my eye's satisfaction, that it will match the color of the original painting before I ship it out.
Okay.
So I have a time limit.
Those really big ones you do are amazing to look at.
And are they oil?
The paintings are, yes.
So,
what Dylan's referring to, I didn't expect to do this. I thought because I had been printing them rather, you know, smaller in a 12 by 12 mat, that they wouldn't look good larger. And there was a new cheese shop in San Diego, the cheese shop of San Diego, mm-hmm. asked me, could you please make a big one? We really want it for our shop. And I didn't think it would come out, but I tried. Mm-hmm. And I had it done somewhere in Philadelphia mm-hmm. that works for museums and galleries. And, mm-hmm. and I had it printed out like that. And it's opened up a whole new, thing for me.
Oh, good. What cheese?
Because they're in California, they wanted a Humboldt Fog.
Oh, cool.
And they end up going for two. They end up getting a Cowboy Creamery's mm-hmm. Devil's Gulch. So they got two.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I noticed you had Oglesheald on your site.
On my site,
now,
yeah.
That's not your everyday cheese.
No.
How did you get your hands on Oglesheald? Did someone commission that?
No. I think, in the beginning, I just kept going to DeBruno Brothers and other cheese shops.
It.
And DeBruno Brothers has in the Italian market in Philadelphia has this amazing
right.
collection of cheeses you wouldn't get normally.
And they have a good Neil Giardieri connection, which is
yes,
that where
Oglesheald
is from.
Yeah. And they love seeing me come in because they knew that I probably wouldn't leave with less than five cheeses. And they're like, we got something new.
One other question. Do you need the cheese right in front of you always? To draw it?
Okay. I pretty much only works from life,
okay.
especially for the cheese. It makes a big difference for me.
Okay, we're going to take a break. It's time for our break. This is Diane Stempel on Cutting the Curd. We'll be back in a few moments.
Essex Street Cheese, an importer and wholesaler and educator whose cheeses include Comté from Fort Street Antoine, Crevero Parmigiano Reggiano, Lamuz Goudas, Farmstead Manchego, and Sheep's Milk Feta from Lesbos, Greece. Find the cheesemongers who offer Essex cheese in your area at essexcheese.com.
Hi, it's Diane Stempel back on Cutting the Curd with Deborah Ziss and Mike Gino in studio and Dylan Stanfield on the phone from Washington. Everybody back?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yay. Okay. So next, Deborah, I want to ask you some questions. I went to your website just recently, and there was a picture of a large person with lots of cheese and pizza in their stomach, in their see-through stomach.
Well, it's okay. So I need to promote myself,
right?
Because I'm an illustrator,
right?
And I wanted to make a piece that I could do double promotion.
Okay.
So I wanted to be able to promote myself to the cheese world
mm-hmm.
and promote myself to just regular illustration clients.
Oh, okay. Not the pizza world.
And so I
did a person.
Yeah, so I did mm-hmm. like it's anatomy of a cheese lover.
Oh, okay.
Their organs are really just all
different. It's so funny. It's hilarious. It's a wonderful piece.
Oh, thank you.
Is it new?
So I just did it, and it's going to be sent out pretty soon.
Okay, now will it be a card? How do you format things?
So that's going to be a postcard,
mm-hmm.
and I just send it out to potential clients.
Oh, okay.
And to, past clients.
And do you make cards also?
It's
greeting cards.
I do have greeting cards, but they're of my other interests, which is something. Now I'm going to use my New York accent. They're of dogs.
Dogs. Okay. I did notice you have a lot of dogs.
Yes, I have a lot of dogs.
It's good.
Deborah loves her dog.
I do.
People know that.
Yeah.
So, do you have a dog?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Anybody who's been on my Instagram account
knows you have a dog.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you are primarily primarily an illustrator.
Yes, I do.
And when did you start illustrating?
I've been an illustrator really my whole life, since I graduated college.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. And so you said that the people from Vermont Creamery are the ones who made up the jokes that you've done?
Yeah.
They're great jokes, though.
They're awesome. So they came up with the concept, kind of gave me an outline.
Okay.
And just
so
said,
did they commission you? And
yeah.
Do they get all the cards?
They did, they printed them.
Oh, okay.
But they came up with the concept and they gave me an outline and then they just said, do what you do.
Okay.
And they're amazing. And I did their holiday card as well. And it was the same thing. Like, they had a great concept and they just said, go for it. Just, let's see how you interpret this.
What was your first cheese joke card that you drew?
I think I might have done the creamy and dreamy one.
Oh, okay.
And
for your work, what percentage is cheese and what percentage is food and what percentage is neither?
Well, right now, I mean, pretty much for this whole year, for 2015 and the beginning of 2016, it's been, I'd say, like 80 cheese.
So you've been swept up.
Definitely. Which is exactly, I couldn't be happier because it's the illustration community is great and the cheese community is great. And to be able to work with both, it's amazing.
Well, I met you at a party.
Yeah.
And it was, we have a very nice cheese world. It was a ladies' cheese party, right?
I met so many really nice people.
Yeah.
All the cheese people are.
And food
great.
Is always part of it.
What? Oh.
Do illustrators eat as much cheese as cheese people do?
I mean, I think that's on a case by case basis.
Okay.
Yeah.
They probably drink as much booze.
Oh, right. Well, that's probably everybody.
I think it's just a bonus for artists to be able to eat their models and
yeah.
It's something we can't normally budget.
Sometimes it's hard. Like I'll be, when I'm drawing something and I'm hungry. And I'll just start eating my model. And
now, okay, do you need the cheese in front of you to draw?
So for the very beginning, when I was really trying to reconnect with, painting, because I'm digital, and I've been digital for so long.
Oh, okay.
So this project started so that I could relearn how to paint, because I just hadn't done it for years. Those models were there, and I was,
And then you eat them.
And then I eat them. So now it kind of depends on the project. Like, I really do need to have them in front of me, but... even if you look at the Valentine's cards for Vermont Creamery, if you really look underneath all the, eyes and...
Right.
There are real cheese portraits underneath,
Okay.
So I'm always observing.
So they're accurate.
Yes. I mean, some more accurate than others, but yes.
Okay. So, Dylan, you did... you studied art before you got into cheese?
Yeah, I mean, my parents and everything have always been artists growing up, so I used to have a little screen printing studio and do some sign painting work, and I've done textiles. I used to just take every art class I could at the junior college, so I gained a lot of experience with different mediums.
And then did you learn how to make cheese?
I started at Beecher's in Seattle. Mm-hmm. I stumbled upon Beecher's looking through the windows one morning at Pike Place. I remember looking the guys up and down thinking, that was pretty cool. I walked in there and they said, can you be here at 5:00 tomorrow morning? And I was like, wow, I'm not sure I've ever woken up that early, but yeah.
Okay.
And I've woken up about 5:00 in the morning for the last 10 years now. And I just absolutely love making cheese. So.
Do you like getting up at 5:00 in the morning?
I like getting off before it's dark.
Oh, okay.
Say it that way. Yeah. No, don't particularly like it, but it works for me.
Okay.
Can you
tell us again how you stumbled on the miniatures idea from the clay gift that showed up in your Christmas stocking?
Yeah, I mean, so we've always had this little, like you said, it's this polymer clay, oven baked clay, and we've always had it around the house and mm-hmm. made little stuff. But I suppose I never had a real craft or something that I knew mm-hmm. a whole lot about. And my girlfriend Jessica made a little cheddar, and I just remember looking at it, thinking, "Oh, I could try to make Cirrus, our camembert that we make at mm-hmm. Mount Townsend." And mm-hmm. so I just made a little yellow center and wrapped it around, and then mm-hmm. Posted it on my Facebook or my Instagram, and people were really excited about it. So I thought, "Oh, okay, I'll try to make some more."
Okay.
And they went from there, and then I just sort of started reaching out to people. And I mean, Mike, I'd known Mike's artwork for quite a while, and was really intrigued in it and loved it. And Saxelbees was really excited about what I was doing. And then looking at their account, I came across Deb's work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kept making them, and, there was more and more excitement. Eventually, I was able to kind of reach out to Mike and Deborah. And Matt Spiegler has a really awesome blog, Cheese Notes, that
right.
he shared all of our artwork on there. And it mm-hmm. kind of got the ball rolling for me and in the cheese world with people being excited about it. So.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the interesting thing was with Matt and also Instagram, it kind of brought us together. The three of us got to meet online first.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because we all work in the same subject that we were appreciating it. But I was caught by both of their works. But I was really, I think I was almost... maybe rude almost to Dylan, saying, "You can't give these away. They're too good." So I'm like yelling at him as the person who's been making, a living off it is like, "Don't give these away." Then what does he do? He rewards me by giving me some.
I know. So. I feel really guilty every time I see
they're incredible. The best part, I have to tell everyone, when I really met them, and then I said, okay, because Mike gets sent cheese all the time. And
right.
The cheese stork lands, basically, and we all hope that he'll paint our cheeses.
Right, right.
So I sent Deborah, some of the cheese we make at Mount Townsend, and I sent the miniatures of the cheeses that I sent as a gift. And then they each went ahead and, went and painted the cheeses of that I got
uh-huh.
Mount Townsend. It was just a really cool... really cool way to start off our
that is neat. You can all do your cheeses.
Yeah, off kilter is one of the favorite things that I've done, personally.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
That's one of Dylan's cheeses.
Yeah, that's yours, right?
Yeah
okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, Dylan, how, though, do you need to have the cheeses in front of you to make your miniatures?
Unfortunately, I don't live in New York City, so it's
right.
a little tricky for me to procure the cheeses that I really want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So I love cheese books. I have tons of cheese books, and if I can't find it in the cheese book, I'll search it on the internet
online.
And
mm-hmm.
look at lots of different photographs and stuff. But I mean, I like to support. I'm really for American cheese,
yes.
Real American cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I try to make cheeses from American creameries to support the other stuff that people are doing, to bring awareness to some of the new exciting cheeses. I'm working on Tubby
uh-huh.
from Crown Finish Caves.
Oh,
Crown
cool.
Finish Caves is doing so much cool stuff
right
now.
Yeah.
I'm just keeping my eye out for what's new and exciting and
mm-hmm.
trying to share that with the cheese world, because we put a lot of hard work making our cheeses, and it's just got to be really exciting for a cheesemaker to see their cheese in oil paint or illustrated from Deb or made miniature.
Right, right. So it's sort of you're feeling it's a promotion, American cheese promotion.
Mm. Yeah.
And I know your cheeses, you have a lot of American, Mike.
It started with any kind of good cheese,
mm-hmm.
just in the cheesemongers threw the best cheeses they could at me. And
mm-hmm.
half of them, I recently looked at the first couple groupings on my website, and I realized
mm-hmm.
that it was pretty even. It was
mm-hmm.
half and half, and it wasn't intentional, but
right.
since the Sacramento ACS,
mm-hmm.
I've started working on a cheese map of the United States, because there were too many cheesemongers asking me, "Why don't you have my state?"
Right,
and I'm like, I don't know. So
right.
I've got 14 left to do, I think.
Okay.
So
it's really... It's cool. If you go to Mike's website, he's got a little cheese map with all the states that he has cheese painted from, with mm-hmm. all blacked out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like you said, he needs 14 to go. So
yeah, yeah.
From
there's
those states, send him some cheese.
Almost mm-hmm. every state makes cheese now, so you should. It shouldn't
well,
be a
I
problem.
I got the hardest ones done. I have
oh,
Hawaii
did?
And Alaska.
Oh, okay.
So
is that the one with the squid ink?
The squid ink one is from Hawaii, yeah.
Wow.
So.
Because some of the cheeses that I haven't heard of on Mike's site are American, mm-hmm. I think. They're just too new, you know.
There's a lot.
There's so many new American cheeses, yeah. It's hard to keep tabs on them all. Because they don't come to New York.
Yeah.
So, so Dylan, you studied art too?
Yeah, I mean, at junior colleges, and I always had my mom's a teacher, and so our friends were all art teachers, and I used to work for the art teacher, so I just, you know, I'd been doing art my whole life, where mm-hmm. I really excelled in high school or whatever, so, but not professionally trained in any way, no.
Okay, so what do you feel is the intersection of cheese and art?
For me, why I'm a cheesemaker, because I guess it's hard to make money. It was always hard to make a good living being just trying to be an artist.
Uh-huh.
And so I fell into a craft that not only allows me to have a good physical job, move forward, but also create piece of artwork. I see cheese as that. It's a very physical, you know, hands-on job
mm-hmm.
Where you're basically creating an edible art.
Right.
Like Mike said, you rarely do get to eat your, you know, your subject.
Model.
But
I'd say model. I think also
your model. But, but we get to do that every day. I'm tasting, creating something, and tasting it. It's a very sensory, you know, artistic job. And mm-hmm. I think that's why I love it so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Dylan gets to do this in two different ways that
right.
I don't think Deborah and I get to.
Right.
But
right.
I feel like. Deborah probably would agree that we're both like doing an homage to another art form.
Right.
So
I
think we're both have fallen in love with the subject,
mm-hmm.
you know, not expecting
mm-hmm.
to. And then you can't help, once you get to know the cheese world, you can't help but want to you know, root for it
help.
And help it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
mm-hmm.
you kind of feel like every time, it's so gratifying to be able to celebrate something you believe in.
Right.
And
it's
kind of like it archives it in a way that most art, like most cheesemakers probably don't get, even in Europe, probably don't have that much art represented.
Mm-hmm.
It's as specific as ours.
Right, right.
And
I mean, I have a question, like, for Deb, Mike. Have you guys ever been, like, working on a cheese, pretty much? And, you know, you get, like, I was working on, say, you know, St. Pat or Cornish Yarg, and you spend so much time painting it, and all of a sudden you realize, gosh, they must have put so much work into doing this.
Oh, it's, yeah.
You know, it's perfectly mm-hmm. made, and, like, it's consistent, and, like, just, the cheesemakers really have to work to make this way.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, especially since I definitely try to read as much about it
mm-hmm.
While I'm, you know, painting and drawing it. So it just gives me this great appreciation
mm-hmm.
for just the art
right,
of making
right.
the cheese.
And Cornish Yarg is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and I just imagine the cheesemaker wrapping, you know, individually putting every little nettle leaf on
right.
and wrapping it. It's just...
Right.
And I think it gives me that perspective because I am a production cheesemaker and
right.
I have to saw hundreds of wheels of cheese, you know, every day. And so
right.
I imagine them going through that process. It just gives me that much more respect to the cheesemaker and the
right.
specific cheese that I'm working on.
So Mike is right. You kind of pull from both. You know, you
he
know
does,
how
yeah.
hard it is to make cheese and you're working with it artistically. So you've got both things
definitely.
Going on at once. Is it for the other two? Is it... Is it fun to be a unique person in the cheese world?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, fun and an unexpected honor. Like,
yeah,
we're so. I feel really lucky and
mm-hmm.
grateful.
Yeah, I mean, and in the illustration world too. Sometimes people go like, "All right, so you're you know that was
oh you're famous
was,
in the cheese
well,
world."
Well, just mm. that was a good move because
yeah,
you know, like
yeah.
I'm one of three. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
like talk about a niche
right.
market.
I mean, there's more.
You know?
There's
right.
more. But.
Sure, but you know, like
yeah.
All the underground cheese artists, please. Yeah, let me know. And I'll have
yeah,
another
stay
show.
Away.
No. no. We'll be welcoming.
No, of course.
You know,
who knows what they're doing? They're doing like cheese mobiles.
The funny thing is, like over the years, it's been like 5 years for me. I've been in this world, and it's. I just realized that this morning. I'm like, wow, this is a long time that I didn't expect. But over that time, I've been able to meet so many cheese people, so many makers and founders of cheese places, and I'm amazed by the recurring story, or you know, this idea that this scientist, this ballet dancer, this every kind of lawyer, they all have felt creative and they decide to give up their career and go into cheese making.
Right.
And I think that it's such a creative outlet that you can't deny it. And when you get burned out of something you probably shouldn't have gone into, people really gravitate towards it. So I feel like it's just made for creativity.
Yeah, I think that was for me, as I had come from Seattle doing a lot of spray painting and moving to Port Townsend, I didn't really have the walls and the space to do that anymore. So I was looking for an outlet to do my artwork, and then you get this excitement from the cheese world. This this awesome, this amazing community that's out there that's passionate about the artwork that we make and the food that we make. So it's been really exciting.
So you didn't have walls, so you found the tiniest.
He found an oven.
The smallest art possible.
Out here, so I could just sit in my house and you know watch English soccer in the morning.
Right.
And start making mini cheese
and pile it up.
But they're very specific in their jewel-like. They're just incredible.
They're gorgeous. They make me drool.
Yeah.
You know, when I ran across it at the end of the room where it was, it was just like, oh my gosh, I want these.
Yeah, I didn't quite realize how many I'd made until I actually went to ACS and put them out on the table. Wow.
Yes, quite a few. Okay, well, I want to thank everybody for joining me today. This has been a fun conversation. Thanks, Mike Gino. Thanks,
thank
Deborah Ziss.
Thanks.
Thank you on the phone, Dylan Stanfield. I hope, will we all be in Des Moines?
Yeah, I will be.
Who's coming to Des Moines? Oh, great.
I'm not sure yet.
Yep. Okay. I want some miniatures.
Okay. Well, keep your eyes out, everyone. I will announce it very soon when they are available.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. Yes. This is Diane Stump on Cutting the Curd. Goodbye.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.